So, over the next few weeks, we're going to be learning a little bit about John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, and his rules, which are rooted in biblical principles as well, for money and what it means to live faithfully as disciples of Christ and use our money in ways that are wise. So will you pray with me? God, I ask that as we hear your word and as the words are spoken, that they would take root in our hearts, that they would be faithful to you and your truth, and that they would live in us in such a way that we would draw closely to you and closer to your great love. I pray all this in your holy name. Amen. If you could ask for anything. So in the weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, over the next few weeks, close to 6,000 Cook County residents will receive a bright yellow envelope in the mail. Maybe you heard about this in the news this week. The words on the envelope will read RIP medical debt printed on the envelope. And it seems that a network of area churches banded together over the summer to take on the debt collection system that actually profits on the backs of poor people to help restore the bad credit that's marred by medical debt. And so the organizers, Reverend Otis Moss III at Trinity United Church of Christ down on the south side and Reverend Tracy Blackman, who's a pastor in St. Louis, put together their heads and their churches came together and people have been giving out of their piggy banks and out of their set-aside savings, drawing upon the resources of their members. And they have wiped out more than $5.3 million in medical debt. So the areas, of course, are mostly in Cook County in neighborhoods like Auburn Gresham and Roseland and Inglewood and West Pullman. You don't have to be a church member to be a recipient. You don't even have to profess any belief in God. It's not a recruitment ploy, one of the pastors said. It's just what it means to be the church. So when the recipients open these letters over the next few weeks between now and Thanksgiving, the words in the letter will read like this. May you have a beautiful, wonderful holiday. Your debt has been forgiven. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Isn't that amazing? If you could ask for anything. In the classic movie, It's a Wonderful Life, do you remember the scene where in the happy-go-lucky, at the beginning of the movie at least, George Bailey, we find, is so in love with his hometown sweetheart, and he says to her, "What is it you want, Mary? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word, and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down." If you could ask for anything, what would it be? A new car? A new phone or computer, new kitchen counters, some fashionista clothing, perhaps a good vacation, maybe for some of you money enough to pay for college for your kids, for some of you enough to retire earlier, for some of you just to have enough not to worry about the later years in life. For some of you, maybe many of you, the request would not be so much for more money, but maybe a better relationship with your family, your parents, your children, your spouse, your siblings. You want more time, perhaps, with your children. You'd want to rewind and go back and erase some of those things that you said before a loved one died, or perhaps some of the things you should have said before that happened. For some of you, you'd want your health back. If you could ask for anything. In the Old Testament, there are some amazing stories of the great King Solomon. He was known as one of the wisest people of all time. Son of King David, he was a wealthy king as well. And right after he was securely established on the throne, in his wisdom, he took all of the leaders of the house of Israel and they went to the holy shrine, one of the holy shrines, to pray and to offer a sacrifice, a burnt offering. And that night, as they were all gathered there, God appeared to Solomon and said, "Ask whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And Solomon replied to God, "You have showed me so much kindness to my father David, and you've made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be fulfilled. And then he said, give me wisdom and knowledge so that I can lead this people, because no one can govern this great people of yours without help. The truth is that we read in that same scripture that God was so pleased with Solomon's request that God granted him wisdom and wealth. Perhaps, though, because God felt that Solomon had the wisdom to manage the wealth. In these little books that are offered out there in the church narthex, Earn, Save, Give, and in the devotional as well, there's a story that you may remember about a commercial, the Lending Tree commercial, where a guy named Stanley appears to be living the good life. He's got the big house and the country club and driving the nice car, a pool. And when asked how he does it, Stanley responds with a sort of a contrived smile. You can just sort of see him tense up. How do you do it, Stanley? And he says, I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. I can barely pay my finance charges. Somebody help. The truth of the matter, he's not really doing it, right? And the truth is, he didn't really need more money. He needed more wisdom. Most of the time, for most of us, not all of us, but most of us, we don't need more money. We need more wisdom. And wise King Solomon is not the only piece of the Bible that speaks of wisdom, of course. The book of Proverbs is full of these little practical sayings, like the one we just heard, or this one from Proverbs 23. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Be wise enough to desist. Or blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. And in the Gospels, Jesus tells stories, lifts up wise people for us. The wise man builds his house upon a rock, not the sand. The wise women, sometimes known as the virgins, keep their lamps filled so they are ready and prepared for whatever is to come. So wisdom, according to the Bible, is very different from information gathering. To have wisdom means to have good judgment. It's not just head knowledge, right? It's heart knowledge. But even so, it can be elusive, right? Do you see that there, the dog waiting while the skunk is eating? So here's the thing. Because money is not one of those topics that we usually talk about at dinner parties or potlucks, at least in a personal way, we need more wisdom with how to talk about money. Maybe we're embarrassed at times that we have so much when some have so little, and we don't know quite what to do with that discrepancy. Maybe we're ashamed at the amount of debt we have piled up in our own families. Some of you, it's true, in this congregation have great wisdom to share. You have managed your money well, but you often feel like money is a private topic and it's not something that you should talk about around the coffee hour. And that's okay too. But money, of course, matters to God. How we use it, how we think about it, how it shapes our emotions, or our emotions shape how we deal with it. And we need wisdom and guidance from one another, from Scripture, and perhaps even from the teachings of John Wesley. I would encourage you, those of you who've been able to handle money well through the years, and perhaps are in the later years of life, to think about sharing some of that wisdom with those who are struggling. This is a very real picture, the next slide there, of perhaps you've been there, right? That moment around the kitchen table when you realize, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? Help us. Dear Jesus, help us. So God promises to us wisdom if we will ask. And I love this little verse in the book of James, going back to the slide there. Next, there we go. But anyone who needs wisdom should ask God, whose very nature it is to give to everyone without a second thought, without keeping score. Wisdom will certainly be given to those who ask. The founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, offers us tools for a wisdom-filled approach to money. It's found in Wesley's sermon, The Use of Money. And here is Wesley's own brief summary, which is the foundation of this teaching. He actually said, gain all you can, writing back in the 1700s. Gain all you can or earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. And as he talks about each of these points in his sermon, his message is plain. We are to seek to earn all we can, but not at the expense or the harm of other people. This is especially important for big companies and people who are in leadership positions in companies. We are to save all we can by being frugal in our expenses. And then we are to give all we can, but not neglecting our own basic needs and those of our family. Here's what I want you to know very clearly from me as we move into the next few weeks. Our primary goal here in stewardship season, and really this should last all year round because we should always be thinking about the relationship between money and faith. But our goal here is simply to help you think about it and to get more clear about that relationship. So a fruit of the work and the prayer that we do, and if you're in a small group or if you're just doing your family devotional at home, a fruit of all of that will be to have a balanced budget and a budget in which we can share the love of God through our giving here at Trinity. And another goal, friends, will be to not only talk about all this during October and November, but to move towards a time when we're offering ways for you to talk about it year-round. So in January, Jackie Bagoli will be leading a class about how to get out of debt or how at least to manage some of the debt you may have. And the goal of this is to become the kind of follower of Jesus, you and me, who can manage our money in ways that are consistent with our commitment to Jesus. As a pastor, I have been stretched and challenged by my own relationship with money and my faith. Steve and I have worked really hard to live within our means, and I'm proud that we've done that pretty well for the most part. By nature, I'm a generous person, and it has been good to be married to someone who reminds me that we also need to care for ourselves. I'm grateful for that. And this is faithful as well, even in the wrestling, which I know many of you do around your kitchen tables as well, that we need not be embarrassed or ashamed as we kind of struggle with that tension between how much to earn, how much to save, and how much to give. I didn't grow up myself with really clear teachings about money, whether it be just in practical ways or in a spiritual context. So I feel like I'm always learning. We get all sorts of messages from our childhood that God seeks to free us from at times. And one of the messages I got, we had plenty of food on the table and a good shelter and a good home. But one of the messages that somehow I got was, there is never enough. Maybe you have that lingering message too. So I am always learning. I'm learning that it is okay to spend at times, right? It is good to save and better to do that at other times. And always, it is good to give. At our point, in our family, at this point in our life, we're thinking ahead to having two children in college in the next 3 to 5 years, and a lot of unknown about what kind of financial aid and scholarship. Some of you are at that point. When we found out just yesterday Friday afternoon, that the automatic door on our 2007 minivan needed to be fixed, our Toyota Sienna, we both stopped for a minute when we heard how much the amount was. And thought, do we do this now when there's so many unknowns over the next few months? In the end, we went ahead and took the plunge. But that's how it is for most of us, right? In that daily living, those daily decisions about how to be faithful. And we need to be able to ground those decisions in a wisdom that is deeper than our own. Amen? So if you could ask, or anything. James 1:5 reminds us to dig down deep into the heart of God, because most of the time, not all the time, I mean, those folks who experience that freedom from medical debt, what a blessing that is. So there are folks who genuinely do need more money, but most of the time, we don't need more money. We need more wisdom. Anyone who needs wisdom, James 1:5 says, should ask God, whose very nature it is to give to everyone without a second thought and without keeping score. Wisdom will certainly be given to those who ask. So over the next few weeks, I invite you to commit prayerfully to being invested in this. Maybe it's through reading in the devotional. Maybe it's through being a part of a small group. Maybe it's simply by being present here in worship for your own sake, but also for the sake of our Trinity community. Here's just a few ways you can do that, and I invite you just to look at this for a minute and think about one or two things that you will commit to be in worship each Sunday, to participate in a small group study, to spend time in prayer and Bible reflection using that devotional book in your packet, to discuss the sermons and the study material at home or with a friend, and to ask God to give you wisdom in the use of money. Finally, I invite you to pray for our beloved church. Pray that we as a community can be wise. Pray that we can be faithful and teach one another and learn from one another. Pray that we will be generous in such a way so that those who do not have enough money or love or wisdom or shelter or food or whatever it is can be blessed through us. Through us. May it be so for you and for me and for all God's people. Amen. I invite you to join with me in this last hymn, number 600, Wonderful Words of Love.